It's been said that saving faith is not fragile. You only need to go to the book of Job to see that, which is what we'll do today, here on Truth for Today with Pastor Phil Howard. Join us. Hi there, and welcome to today's broadcast of Truth for Today with Pastor Phil Howard from Valley Bible Church here in Hercules. On today's broadcast, we go to the book of Job, why a blameless man went through so much bad. Now, as you take a look at Job's life, you also see a lot of similarities with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what we'll do today. Please join us here in the book of Job with today's broadcast of Truth for Today. Here's Pastor Phil Howard.
Hebrews 13, 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. But in Greek, it's oume. No. Will I leave you? Oume, may. Never will I forsake you. Five negatives. God's not a stutterer. He just wants you to get it. Five times. Do you think he meant it? And if anybody could have lost their salvation, surely this crowd could have. As ornery as we are, I couldn't have kept saved. Aren't you glad about that? I'm trying to stay saved. Well, I never got saved. God saved me. I'm depending on him. This is all warm up. I'm not even mad yet. Wait. When I get loose, I'll really get mad or something. I want to say a few things. We want all monies that come in to go to the stewardship program. And someone is running down their battery. And the money you save by turning off your lights, you can put in the offering. And this license is 4VVS882. That sounds like a lot of numbers. But it's a... black and gold expedition. Sell it and give the money to the church. No, it's a black and gold expedition. And there's the last numbers are 882. So if you need that. Please come out tonight and celebrate what God does in our ministries. It is so wonderful, the labor of our junior high, senior high, and children's ministry in the summer. Summers used to be kind of a break. You think of it as a break. They just double. They double their work. It's a double pace for them. And they go hard and heavy. I don't think we reach more families in the community through anything we do besides probably our children and youth ministries. And I commend you. Thanks for your hard work. And I want us to come out, and it's going to be a youth meeting. This will not be the quiet hour, and this will not be a liturgical genuflect service. This will be kids and celebrating and having a great time, but it's kind of a, we're hoping they get saved, hoping they'll come to know the Lord. So I want to say we put this in the bulletin for you to kind of let you know where we're going. I've been trying to stop Sunday night services, but I have enough protesters that we're continuing. Pray that I'll continue, that we won't faint. And so I'm letting you know what's there. And I've started two series, and just keep up with that. If you weren't here last Sunday night, I wish you'd buy the tape and give it to somebody that needs Christ. And if you're self-righteous, I hope you get the tape and listen to it. You'll see forever that God's treating us according to grace. I'm also the September 15th, Timothy Wow, we deal with Christian life, how to live it. And we're going to be using two books, Spiritual Disciplines by Don Whitney, He That Is Spiritual by Lewis Chafer. And I have five other books, but I don't want to break you, so I'll stop there. If you don't understand the Christian life, it's a miserable thing to be saved, as I was at 14, and to start reading Genesis and get bogged down in Chronicles and say, I guess I just don't understand the Christian life. I guess you don't. If you're in the middle of Chronicles, there's not much Christian life there. You need some basic framework to live your life. And we encourage you to come out and make the journey. It'll be about an 8 to 9 week class. And we'll let you off in November. It's life-changing to me to learn what are the basics of the Christian life. We're in a series on why. I think I'd really rather say when bad things, because I'm finding out the why is one of the most mysterious things to ever figure out, why people who are what we call good, people trying to do the right on the right side, the people of God, why they go through the trials they go through. And today we're going to look at the man Job. And you can turn there. The narrative is in Job 1 and 2. And we're going to look at this man's life, look at that narrative, and then try to see what we can, what principles we could derive from it for ourselves. The book of Job is as interesting as your own life. None of us know what the last chapter of your life is going to look like. I don't know if you're going to die broke. I don't know if you're going to die in a cancer ward. I do know you're going to die. But to know the final chapter of any life always holds out hope or mystery. And what you don't know can kill you. If you don't know what bones and crosses and a little kid that can't read the word poison are harmful if they drink this, what you don't know can kill you. Carol and I recently, a little bored, rented a movie. She picked it. I blame it on her. It was miserable, slow, wouldn't see it again. It was worthless until the last 10 minutes. It's a story about a woman raising 4 daughters by herself. And the opening scene shows her at a cemetery burying her husband. The development of a rather shabby movie, but Costner was in it, so Carolyn just thought we had to see it. It would have redeeming value if Kevin was in it. And we watched this thing, and it was about a woman who went berserk over her husband who ran off with his secretary. And they ran off to Switzerland, and it shows the witch she became. She was a witch. She became a drunk, and she became irreconcilable to her daughters. She was ornery, moody, cantankerous, drunk, miserable, don't mess with chick. I mean, she was bad shape, because she was never going to get over what this man did to her. Came up missing. She calls the office. He's not working there anymore, and the secretary that he had is no longer there. She has moved to Switzerland. I'm going to hate him for the rest of his life, and I'm going to trash him all I can in front of these 4 girls. Marry men, but don't ever love them. Learn to always have enough in you to hate them. Well, the last 10 minutes of the movie, she finally falls in love with old Kevin boy, her old drinking partner. And they're going to build a house on the back of the lot. And as they're developing the lot, they discover an old abandoned well. And at the bottom of the well was the body. Her husband had fallen into this well inadvertently and was killed. And for 3 years, she's hated him because she says he's run off to have an affair, not knowing he was only about 100 yards from her back porch, dead in a well. What you don't know can kill you, and it can change your life. And when you come to Job chapter 1 and 2, you must know that Job doesn't know anything about what's going on in this chapter. He knows nothing of what's going on in the third heaven. He knows nothing of how the book is going to end. He is living through the hurricane and the Holocaust of this devastating life. We pick up a man living in the land of Uz. Make that us. And it's not Alice in Wonderland and Oz. It's Uz. We don't know where it is. They speculate it's down in Edom, maybe in Arabia, south of the Dead Sea. He's not a Jew. There is no sense here that this is a descendant of Abraham. There is no presence of the Mosaic Law, so he's back in the patriarchal period, back here with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, way back. Probably the oldest book in the Bible, the oldest biography we have. And he was a man prospering. He had 10 children. He had abundance of material wealth. He had the good life, as much as you could have it in that setting. And one day the scene moves to heaven, and in the heavens, angels are showing up, and even Satan, after he has fallen, has access to God's ear. And God says to the devil, "Hey, what you been doing?" He said, "Well, I've been going to and fro on the earth. I've been looking people over." And God says, "Have you ever considered my servant Job? A blameless man, a man who fears me and who shuns evil. Perfect in the sense that he measures up to what I want, and when he doesn't, he offers sacrifice. He deals with what sin he does do, but as a whole, his life is characterized as fearing me. By the way, I don't have anybody like him." Satan says in verse 8, God's talking to him, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." And Satan must have been related to Socrates. He's always asking questions that torment us. Does Job fear God for nothing? Now, that is just an angelic slap of God. Well, I know why he's that way. He's a paid lover. You've got him on the payroll. The only reason he likes you is you paying a good wage with all these benefits. Satan says this, and he says, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that the flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Now, he's right about everything in this except cursing God. God had put a hedge around him. God had given him everything. God was the blesser. He read it exactly right. But he made this threat. If you remove what you're giving to him, there's nobody loves you enough to be faithful to you if you take away the benefits. You've got to pay people with gifts. You've got to pay them with goods to get anybody, because nobody would just serve you because of your person. Now, this is amazing to me, because Job has no Bible. Job has no, where's he getting his knowledge of God? Oral tradition is the only way. Where did he learn to fear God? Who told him to do animal sacrifices? We don't even have a priesthood around. Levi hasn't been born yet. Some way or another, down from Adam, he learned that sacrifices can atone. Blood has to be spilled. He's picked up a religion that is theistic, that is truly honoring to God. And Satan says, "But you've only got a faithful man in Job because of the blessings of God. He doesn't love the blesser. He loves the blessing." There is the insult to God, and there's the challenge. The Lord said, "Very well. Then everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. And within a matter of 5 to 10 minutes, he gets four messengers, one after another, just like this. It'd be just like four Western Union telegrams. Boom, 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 boom. One leaves the door. Here's another one. One leaves another. Four of them. Listen to what it says. The first person comes. And he tells about the son's feasting. And he tells about the Sabaeans. They come and they killed all the oxen. While he was still speaking in verse 16, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped. No doubt lightning out of the heavens, fire, death. Soon as he says that, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While they're speaking, another messenger comes and says, your seven sons and your three daughters were having a party and partying at the house, and all of a sudden a wind has swept out of the desert, blown down the house, killed all 10 children, and I'm the only one that survived to come and bear the news to you. So in a matter of 5 to 10 minutes, I've lost all my oxen, I've lost all my sheep, I've lost all my cattle and servants, and now I right now am making funeral arrangements for 10 children. In a matter of 5 to 10 minutes, all of this falls on this man. How does he respond? He prays this after he tears his robe and shaved his head. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. What a test. Surely that's enough. God nominated him for the test. I can't imagine. Rich Rollins always says, Phil, I nominate you for the test. Very kind of him. You be the great saint among us. You, I will esteem you as long as God hears me, and God will let the fire hit you. And so we've all decided we're just wretches. None of us are like Job. Spare us, Lord. I want to sneak into the back door of heaven with as little suffering as I can get out of. Well, this wasn't enough. He didn't curse God. He didn't achieve what Satan said. So Satan has been routed on the first round. So he comes back for a second round. God has been vindicated. He's thrilled. Then the Lord says to him in chapter 2, verse 3, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. That is interesting. Only one of all the earth could God even give this test. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity. Though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. So where does bad things come that often hit God's people? I wonder if there's a divine satanic contest going on over your loyalty. Could it still happen that Satan goes to God and says, if you took this away, you'd find you've got a follower that would bail out on you. You've got someone that won't stay with you if you touch this possession, that possession, this blessing, or that blessing. I wonder if this is at the beginning of the Bible to let you know that such contests obviously happen between God and Satan. And God simply says, I've got some people on the earth that can pass such a test. And God forbid that any of us invite the test. None of us want it. And then the devil comes back. Skin for skin. And that was a Near East phrase that says, you've suffered the loss of your children's skin, but your own skin you haven't given up. And I'll get you on this one. If it comes to touching you, you will fold. Job cannot hold out if his own body is touched. Satan says, a man will give all he has for his own life, but stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well, then he is in your hands. Take a hint. Anything put in the hands of Satan is headed for destruction, death, and loss. But you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. And this is believed to be the city dump. He's out at the dump where the lepers, where all the sick people held out. They had to quarantine them. So he's outside. The man that sat at the city gate and was a politician and had influence is now out here with the beggars and the sick. No medical coverage, you know. Scraping away the sores. And this sounds not too bad, just boils. But let me give you how he describes his boils in the rest of the book. There's been different ones who have speculated what his sickness was. It's referred to the same boils that came upon the Egyptians as a plague. Some have called, think it's smallpox. Some have called it elephantitis. There's been speculation. But as you read through the book, it was boils that had scabs and scales. In 2:7, he says they're ulcerated, inflamed sores. He describes it as itching in 2:8. His facial skin was changing so that his friends didn't recognize him. He lost his appetite. He became depressed. He lost his strength. In 7:5, he said the worms are in the boils. Running sores. Difficulty in breathing. Darkness under his eyes. Foul breath. Loss of weight. Continual pain, restlessness, blackened skin, peeling skin, and fever, and nothing left but a wife acting like a fool and a little bit of potsherd.
And this is Truth for Today, the radio ministry of Valley Bible Church here in Hercules, and our teacher and pastor, Pastor Phil Howard. Thank you for spending time with us today. As always, it is a pleasure and a delight studying God's Word with you that we might mutually grow in our love and admiration for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have questions about today's program, maybe you have a question about your own walk or relationship with the Lord, we would love to talk with you. No strings attached. Give us a call, and we'd be more than happy to answer any questions we can or pray with you. Our phone number is 855-833-9864. Again, you can reach us at 855-833-9864. If you would rather write to us, here's our address, 1511 M Sycamore Avenue, Suite 278. We're here in Hercules, the zip code 94547. And again, even if it's a simple thank you for the broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing that these programs are being used by the Lord for your growth in Christ. So again, you can reach us by phone, by mail, or better yet, stop by our website and drop us an email. Let us know you paid us a visit. You can find us at truthfortodayradio.org. That's truthfortodayradio.org. As you stop by, don't forget to drop us an email and take advantage of the many resource materials we have available for your growth in Christ. Again, it's all there at truthfortodayradio.org. And then if you would like to join us here at Valley Bible Church for worship, Sunday services are at 9 and 11, and directions can be found at our website, truthfortodayradio.org, or by calling 855-833-9864. As you contact us, would you also prayerfully consider partnering with us financially? We're able to continue the radio ministry through your generous financial support. And whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly donation, no size is too small or too great. We'd love to hear from you and know that you are partnering with us for the furtherance of the gospel. So contact us today at 855-833-9864. Or stop by truthfortodayradio.org. And then come back and join us next time for another broadcast of Truth For Today with Pastor Phil Howard. Blessed be the name.